Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, Geraldine Corrigan. Geraldine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Well, how are you after your ordeal? It's 6:15 on last Friday evening, is
last
that correct?
Last Friday evening, yes.
And where were you, Geraldine?
I live in Dublin. I live alone, so I won't give my address or anything like that. Basically, it was a very cold day. It was possibly one of the coldest day of the year, and I have an underlying condition, so I was basically not going out much since March, very little, and hardly any people in the house or anything like that. Okay. I was batch cooking to avoid going to shops or anything like that, and I had just finished, and I decided I'd just top up under the duvet to get warm and listen to Drive Time and the news. And then at about 6:15 or so, I thought I saw headlights in my road where I live, shining up into the bedroom, and then I saw the lights waving a little bit, and I thought, that's a torch. So I basically thought it was in my garden. I turned around. I didn't hear them coming in because I have a little bit of deafness. Okay. And basically, I turned around, and there was a man over my bed, balaclava covered in the bedroom. And I needn't say, Joe, I was absolutely terrified.
And did he say anything? Did you say anything?
He didn't say anything at all. Immediately, when I saw him, I actually thought I had dozed off, even though I hadn't. And basically, I thought I might be dreaming or something. I couldn't believe it. And basically, I just start shouting at him to get out of my house, get out of my house. And basically, he still didn't get out of the bedroom. He went over to my dressing table and quite casually lifted with two hands my jewellery box and all the rest of it. And I had managed then, once he started walking towards the dressing, it's not a big room. I luckily have a panic alarm on the wall about a foot away from my bed, and foot and a half or so, I was able to jump out and press the alarm. I hadn't
used
30 years, so I didn't even know whether it was working. And I also had a spotlight and put it on, ran out, and basically I didn't leave the room initially because I thought there might be two of them or whatever, and I didn't want to be another one caught in a bedroom or something and be caught between them or something. Yeah. But I did feel very, very vulnerable and terrified. But I just had to keep logic. And I also decided, I was a nurse, so I suppose my training a little bit went into drive. Yeah. And I just thought, look, I'd better stay in the room for a minute just to let them exit. And then I just went out onto the street, onto the road, to my gate. And I didn't know I could scream as much as I did, but luckily I have excellent, brilliant neighbours, and they all came running out.
And how many men were in the house, Gerard?
Well, basically, there was a neighbour two doors down from me, and she saw suspicious activity around the time as she was looking out the window, ringing somebody, and basically, she saw four masked men, one was a balaclava, coming into my drive. And basically, they were around the car, and she had rang the Gardaí, and they were alerted. So when they left, the Gardaí and the detectives and forensics and all were absolutely brilliant. They were with me, you know, quite quickly. Yeah. But I have to just say, my neighbours, my God, my neighbours were absolutely fantastic. I just can't thank them enough. And in times of COVID, it's very difficult, but they were excellent.
And Geraldine,
did
your panic alarm work?
It did.
Brilliant.
Joe, and
well
I don't even.
Where did you get the strength to
I don't know. I think it's my nursing background or something would have helped me a little bit just to keep calm in a difficult situation.
Because
and God knows,
I'm thinking of that image.
It's shocking.
As your man, you're under the duvet.
Yes.
You don't know if you're dozing or not, but you're warm, thankfully. And it's dark. Is it dark in your room?
It was dark.
So you saw this figure in your bedroom?
Yes, right, standing over my bed, looking down on me.
But everyone's reaction would be to climb under, pull the duvet up over them, and scream. But you had the sense to jump out of bed and hit the panic button.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I didn't do it immediately because I thought if I moved, he might jump on top of me. And, you know, I was lying down. I was very vulnerable. So once he started moving towards my dressing table, I had the presence of mind to do all that. And I don't honestly know how. I would be a very strong, resilient person normally. Yeah. But I don't know where I got the ideas or the strength or anything to be able to do all that. But
did they steal much?
Well, basically, they took my handbag with all my cars, my driving license, my jewellery. There was money in there. There was about €400 in the bag that I normally wouldn't even have there. It was just with COVID times. You know, if anyone got me a message or anything, I'd want to pay them or whatever. I normally wouldn't even have the bag. I would have had it in the kitchen. But I think, basically, I might have given them more of a fright than they gave me because I didn't. I think they didn't just expect anybody to be in the house, you know.
Oh, and how did they get in, Geraldine?
Well, you see, this is the point, Joe. That's why I was really ringing because, apart from thanking my family and my neighbours and the Gardaí, what they did for me was amazing. And even one neighbour is continuing to patrol every 2 hours around in the evening time around my house. Okay. I've fantastic people around me, you know, fantastic supports. But basically the door, you know, I have a double glazing and a very good door, as I thought.
Okay.
And there's 9 locks along the door. And when you come in, I automatically always thought for all the years I have this door that once you pull up the handle at the back of the door, you engage all these locks and you think you are actually locked in.
Yeah.
But the forensic man, now maybe another person with more experience in this could explain it better to you. But basically, unless you use the key to lock yourself in, you are not locked in because they can disengage that in a second outside by pulling up the handle. And they have a little, there was a mark on the door. They used some sort of implement or tool and just got in. And
so he was saying maybe you should. Because the other thing to be really, people shouldn't be over locking themselves at home, because you might need to get out at night if there was a fire. But he was saying leave the key in and just turn the key when you go.
Well, he didn't say leave the key in, but I just think if you see they can get those keys out of the doors as well, and they can get them even
if they want to get in. You're right,
table or something.
If they want to get in, they'll get in. Yeah.
Basically, I just have it on somewhere a little special place now where I have to keep, but it means I have to keep the alarm on even during the day that I didn't before. They're saying let air in with COVID. You can't do any of that now. I just feel like a little bit of a more of a prisoner in times of COVID, you know. And because I'm so vulnerable anyway, I was trying to stay in and mind myself. But
Geraldine,
it makes it difficult.
Four men in a car in the Audi, as it happens.
Yeah.
And thankfully, one of your neighbours immediately became suspicious.
And she even came in afterwards and made a cup of tea for me and all while the detectives were here, and while all the other neighbours, with COVID restrictions in, they normally would have been in to help me, but they were so excellent. You know, they all stay there for support and even the day afterwards.
Now you think, and this is just a random. These guys were
opportunistic. Yeah.
Okay, that's the way to think of it. That's the way it is. That's the way they operate. You know that.
Yes.
Would there have been a light on in your house, Geraldine?
The problem was there wasn't, Joe, because I mean, it was early evening. Normally in the evening time, at that time, look, I would normally never have go for a rest. It was just particularly cold, and I was WhatsApping my friends, and I wanted to. They're all nurses, as I was, and we were just discussing this COVID situation,
Of course,
basically. there, a lot of them are in England, and we were just comparing the strategies between the two countries and the way the differences and all the rest of it, and basically trying to sort out the world on the WhatsApp, if you like.
As we all are.
And
Geraldine, you're absolutely brilliant. You're absolutely brilliant.
No, I don't know. No, you are.
You are.
I
know, and
I
can. And I say that night, or even afterwards, you had an aftershock or whatever, but you behaved brilliantly. Absolutely brilliantly.
Thank you, Joe.
And the fact that you kept your wits about you, not leaving the room, let them leave the room.
And not to turn on the light, so I wouldn't. I thought I'd be in more danger if they thought I saw their clothes or anything like that. So I just had to be.
And did they speak at all, Geraldine?
No. That was the other point. I couldn't even pick up an accent.
Well, you know what that means. That means this gang are going around all opportunistically. These are experienced. Do you think it was four men?
It was, definitely, because
these are an experienced gang of four going around in a high-powered Audi, which they probably stole. And if one of the neighbours even got their reg number, it's probably a false plate. But you say the Gardaí are taking it very seriously.
They are, and they have a little bit of CCTV from a neighbour, all right. But, you know, it's just basically, like, I just like to say my family have been absolutely terrific. I mean, I stayed with my sister and my brother-in-law and all over the weekend, and it was the first night back home last night now.
Okay.
But they, you know, people are terrific, you know. They really and truly are, you know.
And how have you said you've been living, you mentioned the right side, you're living on your own, so no addresses. But the fact that in the pandemic, how have you managed since it's nearly a year now, Geraldine?
Well, you see, I was being very careful, Joe, because I was in resus with asthma and that and high dependency just before the COVID. And basically, I was just being very, very careful. And try not to go out. Like if I went anywhere, even just before Christmas, even before the lockdown, that little restrictions were lifted, I wouldn't go out then at all. But even I'd be in a shop maybe just briefly at 7 a.m. or 8. But it has been difficult. The first one was okay. The weather was good. You could get out and about. The third one now, we're all, not just me, are finding it that little bit more difficult. And you know, people are very, very vulnerable with jobs and everything else, so I'm not the worst off, you know.
Yeah.
I'll survive with my good friends, family and neighbours, you know.
What's been the hardest part of the lockdown?
The hardest thing is, I actually think since the government, I have one other sister who lives, you know, close by, and because I've been able to go into that little bubble and we've been able to go in and eat each other's houses a little bit, not even on social visits, just to check on each other, that has been an absolute godsend, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, but Joe, can I just say, I'm listening to the situation. I worked in infection control actually in a hospital here in Dublin. I actually helped set a big infection control unit up. And I just feel that, you know, we're talking about the government, we're talking about NPHET, and we're talking about the rollout of vaccine slow and everything else. That's dependent on our EU allocation population.
That's true, yeah.
But I just think, you know, their tools, our best tool of all is that we have it in our own hands, and you keep saying wash your hands. Basically, people are letting down their guard, and I know, God love them, people have to go onto the front line, and health workers, shopkeepers, all these people, bus drivers, people in essential jobs, they have to go to work, they've no choice. But I think for the majority, looking at the carry-on with, even when I was going out to my sister's to stay after the incident and coming back just to check at the weekend, like, parks are full. I know people need exercise or whatever, but I cannot understand why people don't use their logic. Why go into these places if they're crowded? Why put more risk onto the health service that are completely struggling? But I just think maybe a lesson out of all this would be to say, look, on that Friday, I saw this man in my bedroom, dark, in front of me. My instinct was to help myself and protect myself, and it was a survival mode I went in. I think if people looked at this virus as a weapon, if somebody was running towards you with a knife or a weapon, you would run to preserve yourself.
Because
this virus is invisible, people don't treat it with the same regard.
That's true.
I think if people start trying a little bit more, I know, God knows it's very, very difficult. But I think if people, we just have to try and keep the numbers from the hospitals as best as we can.
I think that's an incredible image. That your point is totally correct, because it's an invisible enemy. People are can get blasé. Everyone can get blasé about it. But if we can imagine it as an intruder coming at you.
Exactly like I was on Friday evening.
You're very Geraldine, do you think he got a fright when you shouted, "Get out"?
Well, I think he didn't expect to find somebody in a bed shouting at him.
You're brilliant.
Now, I have my moments, Joe. It's not, you know, but I just have to think the other most important thing that were stolen was my 3 nursing badges. Blood, sweat and tears went into those, training and qualifying and long hours on shifts, and God knows we all know what it's like. I'd never worked in a pandemic, thank God, but they were actually stolen and they were sentimental. But at the same time, family members and all were saying to me, "Look, I know they meant a lot to you, but better to have you than have the badges, you know." So I have to have a sensible, logical approach to that. But it was a terrifying experience. But
and what age were you, Geraldine, when you decided to become a medic, to become a nurse?
Would you believe it, Joe? I wanted to be a nurse since I was about 4 years of age. My dad was very sick. He passed away and left my mom with 8 young children. So we didn't have the easiest of starts. So basically, I suppose I wanted to do it from even that age, you know.
And you never wavered?
Never wavered, no. Yeah.
And where did you do your studies?
I did some of it in England, 2 courses in England, and then I came back here and worked in a couple of hospitals. Then I started loads and loads of courses in the College of the Faculty of Nursing and the College of Surgeons, and did my degree and all the rest of it there, you know. So I would still be keeping up to date with all the nursing studies, you know,
even though
I can't work there at the moment myself.
Because you're underlying. But Geraldine, did you lecture in nursing?
I did. I didn't lecture. I'm not a qualified lecturer or anything like that.
But you're a very wise person. You're a very educated and wise person.
I mean, the consultants, doctors, nurses, cleaners, everyone used to come at the time. MRSA was the biggest problem in hospitals, and I used to lecture. I used to go and give private talks to doctors, nurses, consultants, everything before they actually did their exams. And on all these things, and even in ICU, the doctors used to consultants used to come in, and I'm always thinking of you, Joe. They used to say, hold up their hands and say, "We washed our hands." It's just so important, these hands, and the mask wearing, of course, and the way people are wearing them are absolutely upside down sometimes, but it's just a learning curve for us all, you know.
And Geraldine, where did you want to tell us what hospital you finished working in, so to speak?
I finished working in Connolly.
Connolly, Blanchardstown, yeah. Great hospital.
Yes. And I, you know, it is fantastic, but I just think, you know, I just feel for all my colleagues, no matter where they are, and we can apportion blame here, there and everywhere and find faults with this system not working right, that system not working right. And I'd be aghast sometimes when I look at the comments, on COVID, on WhatsApp or whatever, Facebook. And I just think, you know, people need to tone down what they're saying. They don't know what they're even talking about. And they don't seem to understand that our vaccine controls and our amount that we're getting here in Ireland is all controlled by what our EC allocation is, EU allocation is. And hopefully, if the one from England comes on stream, it'll quicken it all up, you know.
But the other thing, Joe,
I just like to say that I heard a programme the other day about the Gardaí wanting to go for vaccinations fairly rapidly after all the vulnerable people and hospital staff, nursing home people. But, I mean, I just think those Gardaí and those detectives did not know what they were facing here the other day.
That's true, they
came in risking their lives in here and didn't know what they were going to face. And I just think they're absolutely amazing, you know, for what they do. And I just think, you know, all these frontline, really, really, truly frontline people should be in line quicker, you know, because what they're doing is just amazing.
Okay, and what you're doing was amazing. And your wisdom today is incredible, Geraldine, and your service over the years since, as you say, from 4 years of age. And by the way, what age was the youngest in your family when your dad died?
Three.
Oh, God.
3 to 15.
Oh, your mother.
We were a big Irish dancing family. We did a lot of music and all, so be well known on the circuit, you know. But my mum was mum and dad, and she did a tremendous job with us all, you know.
Is your mother still alive, Geraldine?
Unfortunately, no. She died there about 14 years ago now. Okay. Yeah.
Were you a musician yourself, Geraldine?
Well, I played the accordion. I'm actually was teaching a little bit of Irish dancing just to basically keep active and have a little bit of a routine and a little bit of, I love teaching the kids and everything like that, and I miss them. And with COVID, unfortunately, that's all gone as well, you know. I only had a little hand in it now, you know, but loved it. I miss my kids, I miss the dancers, I missed all my colleagues in the dancing world and everything. And look, at hopefully when things get better, if people decide to behave a little bit better, we might get back to some sort of normality.
Okay, Gerard Quinn, just on that, I know every door is different and there's so many different variations on those double doors and locks. Gerard Quinn, good afternoon. You had a somewhat similar incident.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. Yes, a number of years ago, we improved the security in our house, mainly with windows and doors. But the front door in particular, we spent a lot of money on to make sure that it was secure. Particularly my wife was nervous being on her own in the house. I worked away a lot. And we got a very secure front door, as we thought.
Okay.
And one night, or the early hours of one morning, we were in bed asleep, and fortunately, we had the alarm on in the house for downstairs, and the alarm triggered, and we got up, and as I went down the stairs, there was someone standing in the hallway just at the front door, and he made his escape, and obviously, nothing happened, thankfully.
Okay, yeah.
But when the crime prevention officer called to us the following day, he mentioned that there were a number of burglaries that happened in the area, and interestingly pointed out that the door we thought was secure was not secure by pulling the handle up and activating the deadbolts until you turn the key in the door and therefore physically locking the deadbolts in place.
Yes, same thing, Joe. Yep.
Yeah, the interesting thing that happened, these doors are commonplace in a lot of houses now.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that the intruders were able to put their hand through the letterbox with a piece of banding like you would get on packaging or on a bale of briquettes.
Yeah.
Wrap it around the door handle.
Okay.
Pull the door handle, push the door in, and there you go.
Ah.
So simple. People need to get into their heads that, you know, that sense of security you have doesn't actually work until you pull the handle home and turn the key.
Then you're locked in. Okay.
But always, you know, always keep the key close by. Not in the door, but close by so you can get out if needed in an emergency.
What do you think of Geraldine's courage, Gerard?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible listening to the story, and my wife is a nurse, and at the moment we are all living through protecting our frontline staffs and those of us that have family members in frontline. And you know, it's the word courage. I think you have to be empathetic and sympathetic and all of those things to be in the front line. But I think you need to be very brave and courageous as well.
Okay, absolutely. Well said. Well said, Gerard. That's Gerard Quinn and McCroom. Philly Sheen is in Dublin, South Dublin. Philly, good afternoon.
Thank you.
What happened in your situation?
Joe, I just wanted to make a point at the risk of terrifying everybody.
Don't,
that
yeah.
they can just actually break a patio door double glazed very easily. I came home just before Christmas and my patio door was just smashed in. And I live in a semi-detached house and there's people outside and there's, you know, there's lots of traffic around. And apparently the way they break it, it breaks in a particular way that doesn't make noise. Mm. And also it's glass that just kind of shatters. So they literally walked in. They just broke the glass and stepped in. I just couldn't believe they could do that quietly. Like, I mean, the whole side of the door was just smashed in.
God, yeah.
If they want to
get in, they'll get in. That's the problem.
Yeah,
they, you know,
yeah,
they're, yeah. These gangs, yeah. Especially Ford, have gone around in a high-powered Audi. They've done this before. And the fact that they didn't panic when Geraldine popped up in the bed and screamed at them to get out, and also that their MO was to get out of the house as quickly as possible. The only thing that stops is one alarm or two a dog. From my years back in when I was a probation officer, the young fellas, they were frightened of dogs regardless of the size of the dog. It was the size of the bark that they were, but that's neither here nor there. Philly, that's the thing. If they want to get in, they'll get in. You're not frightening anybody, but the main thing is to keep your wits about you if you can.
Joe, could I make, I just want to make one point, number one about the door, but also, and can I name a company that came out to fix it?
Yeah, of course you can.
But they were so good. It was a Cord Windows.
Okay.
And he was here, he fitted new glass at 11:45 at night. It's safety glass that you can't smash. Now, the other side of the door is the other glass, so they can just walk in again on the other side if they want. But one side, at least, is safety glass that actually you can't break. But the regular double-glazed door, they just break and come in.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Okay.
Sorry to scare people, but anyway, that's the way it is.
Okay, and fair play, Philly. Don't... As I say, as Geraldine pointed out, they're opportunistic. They're not sitting watching your house for days on end. They're mooching.
I wish they would actually just realise there's nothing left in this house for them to take because they've done it before. And I feel like putting a notice out just saying, listen, you've already done it. Please just skip me this time, you know.
Okay.
But,
Do you mean you've been broken into on more than one occasion?
Yes, it's happened twice before, and I think it's just where I'm situated on the road, and because it's the second house in, and it just seems to be... There's other things I need to do, like lights and stuff, but basically, I do have secure doors, and it didn't really make any difference.
Okay, Philly, stay safe. That's Philly Sheen. Geraldine, lots of people just admiring your wisdom and your courage and your service. So thank you for all three. What's been in terms of any? There's a lot of positivity in your life, I know, through yourself and your neighbours and your family. But have you managed to do anything that you've been promising to do for years, like read more books or paint or?
Well, I had been, Joe. I had been reading a lot of books during lockdown. I love my little garden. I was out in that until the weather turned, and just keeping in contact with friends and all of that, family and all of that, you know.
Okay.
It's, you know, and doing a little bit of studying, just that sort of stuff, But
and you're so right about the COVID. Like everything we're reading, even the last few minutes, the acute hospital system. This is the Irish Times, under worse pressure in living memory.
Yes.
That's the head of the consultants. We've got one of the highest rates in the last 2 weeks in the world of COVID.
Yes,
so
it's
pretty, and everyone. I heard Micheál Martin on one station this morning. I heard Leo Varadkar on our own station, and both of them are trying to get across, obviously, the seriousness of the weeks ahead, the next 2 weeks, and the less contacts everyone has, the better. The less contact.
Like, we are not a police state, and we cannot. I know the borders are a difficulty, definitely, and the COVID, you know, with the situation north south and international travel and all. There doesn't seem to be a lot we can do about all that, which is a little bit difficult. But at the same time, we just have to do what we can do with our own tools, and keep safe and try and stop. Like, the hospitals are going to be overwhelmed. We don't live in a police state like China and all these countries where people are just locked into their apartments and houses and guarded like they are. I have heard from other people, I know. But we don't want to be in that sort of situation. But we just have to just knuckle down a little bit more and just take it more seriously, because we will end up in a far worse situation, and God knows we need to try and avoid that by just simple wearing the masks properly, changing them, washing the hands, all of that. Social distancing is just when I see some people out and about and on parks and groups gather. I mean, where I live, they even broke into the local tennis court and they're all gathering in there. They don't really realise the risk sometimes, you know. Can I just say, Joe, also, there are a lot of break-ins in my area, and there was the week before Christmas, a house around the corner broken into, and there was nobody at home, but two of the neighbours gave chase, and they, again, it was a gang of four, they pulled a knife. So I was also very cognizant of that as well, you know, that had happened. So
let them,
I just say to people, don't try and
let them
go
off
after
and
them
let,
or anything like that.
Keep
it's
as much
information,
which you did, and have as much information as you can for the Gardaí, but let them out, let them out, let them off. They're looking for property. And it's a serious crime that they're committing, but you couldn't have behaved better, Geraldine, even though I think my instincts would have been under the duvet and pull the bolster pillow over me and hide for a call from my dog, even though I don't have a dog. But do you have a dog, Geraldine?
Well, that was my other worry when I was out screaming for help on the road. When help came, I just kept saying I couldn't see my little cat I have for 16 years, and she's a little pet. She's really been great company, and I couldn't see her, and I just thought, oh my God, I hope they haven't harmed her. But luckily then she ran out to me.
Okay, what's her name?
Fluffy.
Oh, Fluffy. Okay.
Spoiled little cat.
Great, brilliant.
But great company.
Yeah, as you are indeed, Geraldine, a very wise person. And thank you for your service.
Thank you very much,
and
Joe.
Thank you for your advice today. And I'm so sorry this happened to you. And I think if the Gardaí, which I suspect they were as impressed with your behaviour and honesty and wisdom on Friday evening and courage, they will do their utmost to catch those four criminals.
I hope
that
so.
Invaded your home.
Yeah.
Okay. Geraldine, happier new year.
You too, Joe, and all your team and all the listeners.
And
thank you very
your
much.
Your neighbours and friends and family. Thanks, Geraldine.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.